Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, I've got a number of scriptures here which teach us what it means to be chosen by God. And if more Christians understood what it means to be chosen, there wouldn't be so much disobedience and compromise in the churches, as sadly is the case. If they understood what it is to be chosen, their faith would be a lot stronger. And they would really understand the purposes of God much more fully. So I'm going to just take you through these scriptures, and you'll see why by the time we come to the end. Now, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." And I guess that's the scripture about being chosen that we're most familiar with. What it says to us is that God himself has taken the initiative in choosing us. Now, we always need to remember that. We didn't choose ourselves, but he chose us. Now, God never does anything without a purpose. So the question is, why did he choose you? He didn't choose you to go to heaven. That's what most people seem to think, you know. Well, God has chosen me, hallelujah, I'm bound for heaven. Now, of course, God wants you in his heavenly kingdom. But that's not why he chose you. And you'll see from the scriptures that there are a number of good things that he wants to do in your life for which he chose you before you go to heaven. So, what is it that God wants to do in our lives now? Well, the first thing is that Jesus wants to reveal the Father to us. Jesus said, "No one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to make him known." So, the first thing to get hold of is that Jesus has chosen you to make the Father known to you. That's why the Spirit tells us to cry, "Abba, Father." That's why Jesus said, "When you pray, say, Father. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." So, he wants us to relate to the Father as he related to the Father. A good way of praying every now and again, this is something I do for several minutes, is just pray the one word, Father. Father, Father, Father. You'll be amazed at the effect that it has on you. But he wants us to know him as Father and to relate to him as Father. Now, Jesus said, "I invite many to my heavenly wedding feast, but only a few are chosen." So many more are invited than those that are chosen. So there must be something special about these chosen ones, and that special begins with making the Father known to us so that we can relate to him. Now, Jesus called him Holy Father, Righteous Father, Heavenly Father. So the reason why God is working this holiness in our lives is so that we can know Father for who he really is. He's not just Dad, but he's Holy Father. Then Jesus says that he has chosen us for himself. So we are chosen by God for himself, to know him as Father, to have the privileges of those who will inherit that wedding feast. But between the choosing and the wedding feast, he has chosen you for himself. So that's why he sent his son to pay the price for you, so that he could purchase you and possess you for himself. So you are not your own, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, the scripture says. So the most amazing thing about being chosen is that God actually wants me for himself, and he wants you for himself. It's such a personal choice. Now, of course, there are going to be some implications to this. First of all, Jesus says, or really, God the Father said of Jesus, "This is my Son, my beloved, whom I have chosen." There's a sense in which, just as the Father chose Jesus to fulfill his purpose, so he has chosen us to fulfill his purpose. Yep. And when that voice was heard from heaven, when Jesus was filled with the Spirit, it said, "This is my chosen one. Listen carefully to him." So in being chosen for his purposes, to belong to him, we have to listen carefully to him. Why is there so much disobedience and compromise among God's people? Because they don't listen to him. They might read the scriptures, but they don't listen to him and to what he's saying and to his will and his purposes. Because anybody who listens to him does what he says. Amen. You don't just hear, you listen carefully. Then Jesus said, "I know what is in the heart of each person I have chosen." So because he's chosen you very personally for a very particular purpose, he knows those whom he has chosen. "I know what is in your heart." You can never hide what is in your heart. You can never hide a thought from him. And you will see by the end of this message that you're very privileged to be here at this time in what God is doing, because it's going to release you into his call much more fully, into why he's chosen you. So he says, "I know you. I know who I've chosen." And one thing God does not do is ever make mistakes. So it's not a mistake that you're here at this time. It's not a mistake that you are in the midst of a body of people that are seeking after God with all their hearts. Even if one or two of you are not doing that yourselves, that's your responsibility before God, but you're still where he wants you, because he wants every single one to be going after him, chasing after him with all their hearts. Amen? Amen. Then Jesus says, The truth is that you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen to take you out of the world, out of worldliness, to belong to my kingdom. So God knows all the spiritual darkness that is in the world. God knows how the worldliness has invaded many of the churches. But what he says to those who will be true disciples is, I have chosen to take you out of that worldliness. I have chosen you out of the world and made you part of my kingdom that is in the world. So you belong to the kingdom. You are chosen for that. And one of the things that God has been doing these last few weeks is taking you out of the worldliness and the worldliness out of you. You are less worldly than you were 4 weeks ago. Mind you, there's still perhaps too much worldliness. God will deal with that, but we'll see that about that in a moment. So he said that to the disciples at the Last Supper when he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So if you put those two scriptures together, we can see that we can only really produce the fruit that God wants to see in our lives by being set free from worldliness and by adopting the values of the kingdom. So we talk, don't we, about having kingdom culture and kingdom life. That's not just what we do when we're together as the body of Christ. It's the way we live. That you live all day, every day in kingdom culture. The life of the kingdom. So that means we have to resist all the temptations to go back to worldliness. Or even to allow any remnants of worldliness to remain in us. Worldliness is wanting what the world wants rather than what God wants. The kingdom is desiring what God wants. Amen? And those two are in total conflict with one another. The world does not want what God wants. And God does not want what the world wants. So we can't compromise as far as that is concerned. And one of the mistakes that was made about some prosperity teachers is they were teaching worldly prosperity rather than kingdom prosperity, which is a very deceptive thing. Then Paul says, and you know this scripture well, I expect, God chose those who worldly people call foolish to have a wisdom greater than they possess. So taking us out of worldliness, even though in and of ourselves we may be regarded by the world as weak and foolish people, gives us a wisdom that is much greater than even the most intellectual, clever people in the world have. It's God's wisdom. Jesus Christ is our wisdom from God. So we have a wisdom that is greater than any worldly wisdom. Paul goes on to say, he chose those who others call weak to have a greater power than any human power. You know, the world looks at Christians and say, you know, what a weak, insipid bunch. But actually, if we're really living as disciples of Jesus, we have a power that is much greater than any worldly power, than any power that a non-believer has. You shall receive power, the power of God, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So he's chosen you to show the world God's wisdom and to impact the world with God's power. He hasn't given you that wisdom and that power for yourself, but in order to fulfill his purpose. He chose those whom the world regards as worthless and useless, of absolutely no account, to show the futility of human wisdom, so that no one will be able to boast before God because of his intellectual ability or human strength. It's the truth version, of course. So, we are chosen by God to know him and to reveal him to a world that is separated from him. A world that is living in spiritual darkness, in the pride of men, instead of humility before God. That's why pride has no place in our lives. That's darkness. Now, we all rejoice in Ephesians 1:3 that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Everybody said, amen. Amen. But of course, that's not the end of the sentence. In the next verse, Paul explains why he has blessed us in that way. For he chose us before he created the world to belong to Christ. Now, we don't have to get into a discussion now, predestination and all of that. But why did he choose us even before the world? To be holy and blameless in his sight. So God has blessed you with everything that heaven has to give so that you will be holy and blameless in his sight. So this word holiness has only really come into the center of your focus for most of you in these last few weeks. It was perhaps a word you fought shy of before that or didn't really understand. Now, God has created in you a desire to be holy because he is holy. Even though you may not understand fully what that's going to mean in practice, you see that because it's the purpose of God, that's what you want. Because if you love him, you want his purposes. If you don't want his purposes, then you don't love him. It's as simple as that. Scripture is very clear about that. That all those who love the Lord want his purposes. So, he has blessed us with all he has to give because his purpose is for us to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now remember, he chose us to bear fruit. He appointed us to bear fruit, but he knows that the effectiveness, or if you like, the amount of that fruitfulness will depend upon whether we are living in that holiness and blamelessness in his sight. Now, this means that holiness isn't something you aspire to, of course, but something that you have. Explaining that on Sunday, you already have that holiness in your spirit. God has already made you perfect forever. It's getting that transferred from the spirit to the soul. So he sees you as holy and blameless because he sees you in Christ. He sees you blessed with everything that his son is blessed with. He has withheld nothing from you. Everything he has is yours. You have come to the fullness of his life. This is what he's chosen you for. Now the outworking of that is so that you will be holy and blameless in his sight. So this holiness that has become a focal point is not an option. It's not an option. It's an absolute necessity for all those who want the purpose of God. It's not for those with advanced spiritual aspirations. It's for all of his children. Yes. Amen. Amen. Then Paul says a little later in the same chapter of Ephesians, we were chosen to belong to him. This was God's plan from the beginning, and he works out everything so his will and purposes are completely fulfilled. So that means that God desires to work in us to fulfill that purpose of us walking in holiness and blamelessness before him. He knows us. He knows that we can't do that ourselves because he knows what is within us. He knows what is within each one of us in the natural. And so he knew that there would be no way in which we could live such a life unless he gave us the spirit of holiness to live within us to enable such a life, to enable such a walk. So that's why we've been calling on the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to take over and control, to manifest his life in every part of our lives. So we don't keep the Holy Spirit sort of tucked into our spirit, but we want him to invade every aspect of the soul. We want him to flow out of our bodies as rivers of living water. Yes. Are you there? Yes. Okay. Then he says in Colossians, Paul says in Colossians, I speak to you as God's chosen people. You are holy. Paul keeps reminding people. We saw on Sunday, even the Corinthian church, which was in all kinds of a mess and muddle and confusion, he starts by saying, you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. You are made holy in Christ Jesus. Because how can anybody be in Christ Jesus and not be holy? You can't have anything unholy in Christ. Totally impossible. So you are in Christ, so you have been made holy. I mean, that's revelation that every Christian, every born-again Christian needs. So you are holy, set apart to belong to him as his own children. You are dearly loved by him and can clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And Paul goes on and on. In other words, you can clothe yourself with Christ because you are in Christ and he is your holiness and his spirit of holiness is in you, so you can clothe yourself with him. Right. Now, that's important because God works in us by the Spirit, but at the same time, we have to clothe ourselves. When you got up this morning, you chose what to wear. Some of you might have only had one set of clean clothes, so there wasn't much choice. You had to wear what you're wearing. But for most of us, we make choices every day. You choose what to wear. Well, just as you do that in the natural, so you do it in the spirit. Every day we have to choose whether we're going to put on Christ. Amen? And of course, if you put on Christ at the beginning of the day, don't change your clothes during the day. Keep yourself clothed with him. Amen? I want you to understand how serious the Christian life is. It's full of joy, but it's serious business. It's not God blessing us and saying, oh, I love you, children, you know, just have a good time and rejoice in me. That's the sort of message you get from some churches, but it misses the whole plan and purpose of God. Hello? I think if you read the New Testament, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, you will see that they were full of joy, they were full of love, but they weren't living to have a good time. They were pouring out their lives in the face of so much opposition, persecution, and cost because they wanted to fulfill the purpose for which God had chosen them. Amen? And so it is for us. You've got all eternity to rejoice in heaven and just to swan it with the angels. But before then, there's a job to do. There's a life to be lived. There's a walk to be walked with Jesus. Amen? Okay. To Thessalonians, Paul says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning to be saved by the work of the Spirit who makes you holy and through faith in the truth. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." Listen to me. The purpose of salvation was to make you holy. The purpose of salvation was not just to give you a ticket for heaven. Because without holiness, no one can see the Lord. So the purpose of salvation was to take you out of the world, out of darkness, make you a child of light, make you holy, make you blameless in God's sight, totally acceptable to Him, so then your body could become a temple of His Spirit, and you can clothe yourself with Christ, you can know the Father, and live at one with Jesus, bearing much fruit for the glory of God. You see how it all fits together. But the key to all that is that salvation makes you holy, so that then you live the sanctified life. Amen? Don't get too excited because it's Wednesday morning. So He's saved you by the work of the Spirit who makes you holy and through faith in the truth. So it's the Holy Spirit and faith in the truth that enables you, first of all, to become holy and then to live in that holiness. James says, so we got all these different witnesses. Through the word of truth, He chose us to give us new birth so that out of His whole creation, we are those who come first as God's children. In other words, God sees you as His child, as first, as the pinnacle of His whole creation. Set apart from the world, set apart from the people in the world. He says of you as His child, "This one is among my number ones." They are first. They are first. In my heart and my purposes, in my will, in what I'm working out, in the whole of creation. That's why, you see, the whole of creation is groaning, waiting for the sons of God, who are first in God's category, if we put it that way, to be revealed. So you are more important to God than anybody else. I mean, you and all the other children of God, those who are truly made holy through their salvation. You are so important to God. He regards you as more important than the rest of His creation. That is amazing. You can't say, "Well, I'm just little me and I just want a quiet life and I just want to love Jesus and, you know, have a family and a good job." And it's not at that level. God has got a holy purpose for you. So James also says, "Has not God chosen those the world regards as poor to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised to those who loved Him?" So, in and of ourselves, we were poverty stricken. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. But in choosing us, to be so special to him, he has chosen to make us rich. Again, that's not worldly riches. He gives us whatever worldly riches we need to fulfill his purposes. But it's not the worldly riches, but to be rich in faith. Now, if you're rich in faith, you have the faith to believe for the fulfillment of God's purposes. Amen. Now, we come to Peter. And actually, I'm talking to you about what it is to be chosen, because God highlighted a verse from 1 Peter for me earlier this week in a way that this verse has never, ever been highlighted to my heart before. And it just started a kind of chain reaction. And, I felt God saying, I want everybody to understand really what it means to be chosen by me. Now, I want you to remember that Peter was the fisherman. He was a rough and ready sort of character. He was not the refined, I mean, John was a fisherman, but John was a lot more refined than Peter. Peter was rough and ready. You know, he was a guy that had a lot of rough edges. And you see that in the way he behaved, even in relation to Jesus during the Gospels. But in the Acts of the Apostles, once he is filled with the Spirit, you see a different Peter. He still has issues. He still compromised when it came to not eating with the Gentiles, and Paul had to correct him publicly. But Peter, if you read his two letters, was a man transformed by the Holy Spirit. And right at the beginning of his first letter, he says this: you have been chosen deliberately, not by accident. You didn't get into the kingdom when the angels were asleep, but God chose you deliberately. So you have been chosen deliberately by God the Father for the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. What has God been doing in you these last 4 weeks or so? The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. These last few weeks, you have been fulfilling your call. God hasn't brought you here as students or on the team just for a job. But he hasn't called you just to attend lectures, to gain in Bible knowledge, or even to enjoy times of praise. He's brought you here for the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God must have a holy people. He must have a holy church to effect his holy purposes. Listen, everything that God does, everything he does, expresses his nature. Now, that's true of us as well. Everything you do expresses your nature. We'll come to that in a moment. But everything God does expresses his nature. So everything that God does is holy. So if you look at the life of Jesus, who, of course, lived the holy life here on earth, you can say, well, to heal the sick is an aspect of holiness. To set people free is an aspect of holiness. To preach the gospel is an aspect of holiness. You understand? Everything he does is holy. So it's all part of his holy purpose. Holiness, then, is not a state or a condition, but it's something that leads to a practical way of life. So Jesus didn't go around saying, I'm holy, or just talking about holiness. He talked about the practical way of life that the holy live. He knew that they couldn't be made holy until the Holy Spirit had been given. But actually, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, for example, it's totally impossible for anybody to live such a lifestyle without, first of all, receiving the Holy Spirit and then being devoted to a life of holiness. Very practical. But you see, it's in that sermon that Jesus says, be perfect, for your Father in heaven is perfect. So because God does everything out of his nature, and his nature is holy, everything he does is holy. Everything he does in love. God cannot do an unholy thing. He cannot do an unloving thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's good. Mm-hmm. Even his judgment is tempered by mercy. And mercy is an aspect of his love. Everything he does in righteousness. So whatever he does is right. God could never do anything unholy. He could never do anything that was not of love. Even when he disciplines you, it's always in love. He could never do anything that is not right. Hello? Everything he does reflects his nature. So everything he says reflects his nature. Everything he says is holy. Everything he says is love. Everything he says is right and just. Righteousness and justice, same thing. So God can never deny himself by doing anything that is a contradiction to his nature. So why has he chosen you for the sanctifying work of the Spirit? Because when you were born again, he put his nature into you. Now that gave you a choice. Before, all you could do was act, speak, relate out of your human nature. But once you have God's nature, then you have the choice of acting according to your human nature or according to his divine nature. Now you see, his divine nature is holy. His divine nature is love. His divine nature is righteousness and holiness. His divine nature is perfect. Your human nature is not yet totally like his divine nature. Are you breathing? This is another way of saying what I was preaching on Sunday morning, that divine nature that he's put in our spirit now has to impact the soul. Therefore, that holiness, that love, that righteousness, and every other aspect of that life is now to be expressed in our lives, because what we're expressing is his nature in us. So it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The Christ who lives in me is, of course, God's divine nature. Are you there? So, in this scripture at the beginning of 1 Peter, he says this: "You have been chosen deliberately by God the Father for the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. It is He who enables your obedience to Jesus Christ as those set apart for His purposes." So, He has chosen you for this sanctifying work. And the more you submit to that sanctifying work, the more He can work that obedience to His commands in your life. In other words, the more of that love, which is His nature, impacts your soul life, your self life, the more obedient you will be. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments, just as I love the Father and obey His commandments. And then Peter continues, "And you have also been chosen to know the cleansing power of His blood that covers all sin and failure." So in this one verse, Peter is saying some dynamic things which must have come out of his experience of what God did in his life as a result of receiving the gift of the Spirit, and why the Peter of Acts is so different from the Peter of the Gospels. The Peter of the Gospels could never have written these two epistles. But now he's saying, you have been chosen to know two things: the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. My friends, what has God been doing these last 4 weeks? Those two things: the sanctifying work of the Spirit and the cleansing of His blood. And you know that these two things go together, the blood and the Spirit. The blood deals with all the negatives, the Spirit imparts all the positives. It's very, very simple, really. All the negatives dealt with by the blood, all the positives imparted by the Spirit. Now, that's how he begins his first letter. He begins his second letter by saying, through His divine power, He has given us all we need for life and godliness. This is Peter the fisherman, or the former fisherman. Now he is a mighty apostle. So, through His divine power, He has given us all we need for life and godliness because we know Him personally. He has called us to live for His glory and in His goodness, by which He has given us such great and precious promises. Now, what's the result of this? Now listen. Through His divine nature, He has given us all we need for life and godliness. What he actually says, if you translate it literally, is that we share in His divine nature. And through that nature, He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So if we go back to what we were saying just now, God does everything according to His nature. We now participate in that divine nature. Now, the more that becomes a reality in your life, the more you will act according to His nature, not your nature, because your nature becomes, or His nature becomes your nature. This is why Jesus said, if anyone is going to follow me, he'll have to deny himself. He'll have to deny his own nature. What is your own nature? It's your soul life. Have to lose your soul. You can only manifest His divine nature by submitting your human nature to His divine nature. Now, the more you do that, the more readily, the more naturally, or you could say automatically, you will actually speak and act out of his divine nature rather than out of your human nature. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's exactly what Paul was saying in that, you see. He's saying the same thing as Peter in a totally different way. He's saying it's no longer I who live. That human nature of mine is not now what is controlling my life. It's not what is being revealed in my life. Now it's Christ in me. And Christ in me is holy, he is love, he is righteous, he is just, he is merciful, he is gracious, he is kind, he is good, he is controlled, self-controlled. So it's not me trying to be like Jesus. That's an impossibility. The only way in which we can imitate Christ is by denying ourselves and letting that divine nature in which we now participate being expressed in our lives. Now, I put it to you, and I don't say this in any sense of judgment, because I've spent the whole of my life ministering this into churches all over the world. But I think you would agree with me that there is a great number of church-going people who've got no idea about this. It's not even on their radar. They've never even been taught it. Which, of course, is why the church is so weak in its witness in so many ways. But it's clear, you see, from Scripture, this is why God has chosen us. This is the work he's done for us in Christ. And you see all the arguments that churches get into about this, that, and the other, this doctrine, that doctrine, instead of getting on with the life, or this practice and that practice, and, you know, allowing more and more worldliness into the church, instead of seeing that God has saved us out of worldliness in order to be a holy people. Hallelujah. Are we getting something here?
Yes.
So we've got just another couple of scriptures. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "See what you have become." Now, this is encouraging. "See what you have become, people chosen by God himself. You are a royal priesthood." You're a royal priesthood because you've sacrificed your life to the king. A priest is one who makes sacrifices, offers sacrifices. Yes? So we are a royal priesthood. Part of that divine nature is to be regal. To be royal, because he is king. And therefore we are called to reign in life as those who are chosen by God. So we're a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Who forms this holy nation? Well, those whom God says before who are his number ones in the whole of creation. Those he has chosen and set apart for himself, those whom he has placed as first in the whole of creation. Now, there's something to beware of here. None of this is, of course, occasion for pride. Doesn't mean that we can say we are better than others or other believers or people in other churches. Our concern needs to be that every brother and sister in Christ, every born-again person, understands the purposes of God and is submitted to the purposes of God. because it certainly is not holiness to think you're better than others. Jesus, the Holy One, came as the greatest servant of all. So actually, the more holy you are, the more humble you are. Not the more proud you become. So that humility is an essential part of holiness. Our concern is for God to be glorified in his body, here and everywhere. Because everywhere, God wants to fulfill his purposes through his church. And his church needs to be a bride ready to welcome him when he comes again. You know, we're told to expect the second coming at any time, to live as if it could happen today. But we know also that God's got to do an awful lot more in his church, because he needs to be welcomed by a bride that is ready for him, not by those whose oil is running out. Amen. So, all this just confirms for us from Scripture what God is working out in us, and how this is, we might say, God taking us through a reviving process. What these New Testament writers would say, well, it's simply God working in you what it means to be a Christian. And that's what revival is. Revival is Christians suddenly living as Christians. But God prepares quite carefully for his suddenlies. He does all kinds of things in them before they actually live the Christian life. So it's not a question of knowing what is right, but of doing what is right for the glory of God. Now we've got to the place, I mean, the keynote is always different, but we've got to the place, those of you who are leading 8 o'clocks, now, don't try to lead 8 o'clocks. Because what we need to do, and what we're going to do now, I mean, this is me just bringing a word to enthuse us and encourage our faith. But nobody can lead you where you've got to go now. These keynotes that we've had regularly through these last few weeks, and the other messages that we've had in church and so on, these are like signposts. But a signpost, right, can't walk for you. It just gives you the direction in which to walk. But you've got to walk. And there's a sense in which nobody can lead you in that. When if you lead an 8 o'clock, God might give you some prophetic scriptures every now and again. But even so, you know, we're going to get further if we're just left to really go solo. Amen. But together. That might sound strange. But you see, what happens is we can all go off on our own and seek God, and we need to do that, because God's not going to do it just in the few minutes that we're together in here. But when we are together seeking the Lord, there is a corporate dynamic, there's a corporate anointing. People get caught up in something of the Spirit together. And that's why God can take us further on in those times. But we need to come with the expectation that that's what he's going to do. So I just want to finish with that scripture again from 1 Peter 1:2, where he says, God has deliberately chosen you to belong to him for the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. So it's not a question of thinking, Lord, I just want more of you. Now, we've seen that's essential to the whole business. But why? Because this is God's purpose. This is his sanctifying purpose. I want more of that sanctification. I want more of that holiness. I want more of that love. I want more of that righteousness. I want more of that divine nature to be expressed in my life. That's why we're here. That's why you students are here. That's why God has given you the great privilege of being here this year, so he can work this in you. This is why those of us that are on the team, this is why we're on the team. We're not on the team to do a job and to receive a salary. We're here for the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're here for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. That's why he's called and chosen us. It's an even greater privilege to be called into ministry so we can devote our whole lives to serving the Lord. But we'll be missing the purpose of God if we serve the Lord without the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And without the cleansing of his blood. Because the effectiveness of what we do comes out of how fully we participate in the divine nature. And how much we allow that divine nature. I'm having a whale of a time this term, you see, because I can talk to you like this now. 4 weeks ago, you wouldn't have had a clue what I was talking about. If I had said these things to you a few weeks ago, you said, what's he talking about? But now you see, you have actually begun to experience the sanctifying power of the Spirit. Now you actually see that the purpose of God is for you to participate in his divine nature. Awesome, though that thought is. Actually, you might not have put it in those words, but actually that's what you want now. More of Jesus. More of that divine nature. More of him, so there's less of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So how are you going to pray? Well, that's up to you. How you respond to the revelation that God gives you, to this signpost. This is another signpost for the next stage, you see? So he's chosen you for this. And you have the two things that you need. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and the cleansing of the blood. Mm-hmm. If you're going to walk on this way with the Lord, that's what you will walk. Spirit, blood, spirit, blood, spirit, blood, spirit, blood. And you'll keep on the highway of holiness, and you will fulfill obediently the purpose that God has for you. Amen. So let's all stand.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.